You're listening to.
You're listening to.
You're listening to.
You're listening to. Sci-Fi Dig.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Sci-Fi Dig Show 342. I'm your host, Aaron Makem. And there's a few things I want to talk about this week. And one of those things is going to be the future of this podcast. Now, I have talked about over the past couple of episodes that I'm having a difficult time trying to being able to sit down and do all the audio for the different Fringe episodes. Now, I finished season one, started into season two, and I actually have one more Fringe breakdown recorded. What I'm finding is that there's just not enough time to be able to sit down and go through all the audio for the show. So a weekly show of Sci-Fi Dig is taking me about 5 hours to put together and record, and I'm just not having that amount of time during the day, during the week. And the problem I'm having is that I'm dying to get at the mic and talk and keep the community going and keep the discussion going and just, you know, talk some sci-fi, get some great feedback from everybody. And doing episode breakdowns of shows is a mixed bag. A lot of times people love it. You know, I mean, you know, I Babylon 5 was a labor of love for me, and I really enjoyed doing it. And then when I finished that, I kind of tried some other things and just wasn't really feeling it. Fringe was something that I really enjoyed doing the breakdowns of because it gets so intricate in a lot of ways. And so I really enjoyed doing the breakdowns. But in order to have any kind of regular show, meaning something that's not going to be once a month, there's just not enough time for me to sit down and do it. And the reality is I'm not loving doing it. It's not that I don't enjoy doing the Fringe breakdowns. It's that, you know, in the scheme of things, I'm not getting any younger, and God's not making any more time or land. So I would rather do a show where I sit down and record and just chat about the, you know, a lot of the geek related things I normally chat about. And, but, you know, the downside to that, the upside is that that's a lot quicker for me. I can sit down and record whenever. If I want to do 10 shows a week, I can do it. And trust me, there's things that just come off my mind that, I want to put out there. And, I just, you know, I end up making a list, and I figure, well, when I do the next Fringe show, then I'll add this in there. And then by the time I get around to it, the time has passed for it. And or I don't feel like doing it, or I spend so much time at the mic recording that I just kind of get tired and there's other things I want to do. It's not a matter of not wanting to do it. If I had unlimited time, well, then, you know, I would do a podcast every day, but I don't. There's a million other things I want to do, including, you know, reading some comics and watching some TV, as well as some other geek-related things. And because of that, I came to the hard realization last night, actually, that I'm going to stop doing the breakdowns because it just takes too much time. Now, like I said, there's pros and cons to this. I mean, the pros is there's some people who love the breakdowns. And the flip side of that is, believe it or not, most of the people that give me my feedback kind of skip over the Fringe stuff or whatever episodic breakdown I'm doing. It all depends on what you want from a podcast. Me, the kind of podcasts I like are not the ones that are overproduced or made to sound like radio or things like that. I like podcasts where guys are just sitting around talking about their geek week, talking about what they did during the week, talking about what they love, why they love it, arguing about, you know, geek fights about just silly things that aren't important, but just a lot of fun to listen to, talking about new books or new movies that came out, things like that. And, you know, I also like episodic shows. I like shows where people talk about, you know, take the time to pull the audio and do an episode of Star Trek or whatever. You know, I enjoy that. And I'm not saying I'm never going to come back and do that again, but it's not going to be a, it's not going to have that collector mentality where I got to do the whole thing. It's just like I might jump in and say, hey, I want to talk about this one episode of something that I thought was a lot of fun. And I might pull some audio and do a breakdown for that. But the hard truth is that I am not, there's just not enough hours in a week to do all these other things, but I still want to do a podcast. Now, you know, I just want to be upfront with everybody because some people might hate that. Some people might not hate that. You know, I'd appreciate some feedback on what you want to do because the reality is if nobody really cares about me just sitting here talking about my geek week, then there's not really a lot of point to me doing it at all. And there's just so many other things that need to be done. Not only do I have, being a responsible adult, I have my chores I have to do, but there's also a lot of other fun things that I like to do as well. And I find I don't want to get to the point where I resent looking at doing, when I think about doing a show, I look at it and I start to resent it. And then it becomes like a job. And I don't want it to be a job because then it's no longer fun for me. And if I'm doing more off-the-cuff stuff, then, we're living in an age where there are a million ways to record. I don't actually have to do – I don't sit on the computer and do it. I don't have to have my good mic or my mixer hooked up. I can record on my phone if I want to. And a lot of the Sci-Fi Dig shorts have gone over real well that I did back in the day. And I'm working with a couple of other products. I'm trying some things out. I know that a friend of mine, Derek Coward, we all do You Have Reached together. He was telling me about a program, and it's funny because I was just doing some research on the same program, and I wasn't sure how well it would work. I wasn't sure if it would do everything that I needed it to do. And he's got a workflow down where it almost has everything down that he needs it to do. And that's kind of what I'm looking at. You use Audiophonic, and you upload, you set up your pre-roll and your post-roll, which would be the intro and outro, and you can actually even have it attach the ID3 tags and do the and also attach your album art and upload it to your FTP server. So I'm thinking about playing around with that, and the idea would be that for the most part, it would be automated. I could record on the fly and just upload it, to push it up to the server, and not have to worry about it. And as it is right now, I know this is a lot of inside baseball for some people. Just bear with me. I'm going to get to some good stuff here, I promise. One of the things that I don't record, I record it. I have my recording studio, air quotes, set up in the basement, which is just a bunch of crap laid all over the counter here. I have a bar in my basement, so it's just this bar has never seen bar use. It's just basically a collection for all my crap. And I have all my crap set up here. And I have a plethora of computers, okay? And I have a PowerBook that is we're probably 10 years old at least. And it's what I'm recording on right now, so you're going to notice some subtle differences in the audio because it's running very old software. But it still works for what I want it to do, and the idea is that I can keep this thing set up and plugged in down here. And I have to work out a couple of... I'm not sure if it's going to work, but the idea is that I can sit down and record when I want. And I mean, it's kind of slow when it comes to adding audio files, but if I'm not doing... pulling a lot of audio clips, then sitting down recording all it requires is something to record with and me in a microphone. And I'm able to do that and then just save the file and be able to post it when I want. Even if I don't want to use the automated system, I should be able to just push this to my home network or Dropbox or something like that and always have it available and play around with it on that. So I'm still tweaking the settings on this. I got the other computer set up exactly how I want it to record, so I still have to tweak some of the settings on this one to get it exactly how I want it. But my idea here is to make this much less setup and much less prep on me so that I can just sit down and record when I want to record and take it from there. We're going to see how this is going to work. I'm really asking for some feedback, folks. I mean, I know I have a lot of listeners out there. Some people are very good about feedback. I know that I'm bad about feedback, so I really can't be scolding. But let me know what you think, what you're looking for, I have a lot of friends who have said, hey, if you don't want to, I understand if you don't want to do the fringe stuff, as long as I get some kind of podcast, I would rather have, a podcast than not have a podcast. So, this is kind of what I've decided. And I was thinking about it yesterday because I have a to-do list of things to do around the house. And one of the things on that list is this podcast, and it's been on there for a month. And I just have not had time to sit down and get everything together the way I want to get it together. Now, with that being said, I do have, I'm pretty sure I have one more Fringe episode that I've already done that I will include later on. Not in this show, but in an upcoming show. But I wanted to let everybody know about the changes that are coming and that it's just for lack of time. It's not because I don't love doing it. It's kind of like, I hate to correlate this to work. It's kind of like my job. I love my job. I have no complaints. I don't mind going to work. I actually enjoy the work. And I've been doing it for 24 years now, and I don't mind it, honestly. But when I go to work, and I'm kind of bummed out about being at work. It's not because of work. It's because I think about all the other things I could be doing, you know, watching TV, reading comics, playing some games with my kid, all those different things that I could be doing instead of working. And that's kind of what it comes down to. It's just like cutting the grass, you know. I'll bring it back to something that everybody knows me for, and it's cutting the grass. And, you know, I don't mind cutting the grass. I actually enjoy cutting the grass. But when I get to cutting the grass and I'm halfway through it, I'm like, man, I still have another hour of cutting to go. I'm starting to think about all the other things that I could do. And I try to make it the most of my time. So that's why I listen to audiobooks or podcasts or whatever when I'm cutting the grass, and try to have, you know, try to think of ideas for the show or for whatever, or try to, you know, things like that. Try to always not really have any downtime when it comes to doing tedious jobs around the house. Now, as I record this, I'm going to be tweaking some settings, so bear with me with some sound issues we may have. This seems to me that the volume seems kind of low on this compared to the other computer, but just bear with me. All right, that's 10 minutes of Inside Baseball, and I don't want to drag this podcast down with all that. So just keep that in mind. Send me some feedback. Let me know what you think. If you absolutely love the Fringe things, let me know. I just don't see how I'm going to be able to fit into my schedule. It's just taking entirely too much time and kind of taking some of the joy out of doing these shows. Anyway, I wanted to talk. The other thing is last week I recorded an entire podcast. Okay. And because I was pressed for time, rather than bringing my computer down and plugging it in and all that stuff, my laptop, I decided that I'd let it run off battery power. Well, the problem is that I went too long, and I have an off-brand battery in my computer. So what my computer will do is it'll say 35%, and then suddenly it'll go to 5% in the blink of an eye. That's what happened. I saved a file, took the computer upstairs, plugged it in, and the file was there, but it was so corrupt it wouldn't play. And then I just got really, really ticked off because I put so much effort into it, and there was an hour and a half of my life I'm not going to get back. So in order to try to streamline things, this is what I decided to do. Anyhow, I want to talk about, I'm trying to remember some of the things talked about on that podcast. One of the things I wanted to talk about was a game. Now, those of you that follow me on Facebook and follow the Sci-Fi Dig on Facebook, that's where I posted some of the pictures of my daughter and I started playing Killer Bunnies. And it's a great game. I really enjoy it. And I know a lot of people out there have heard about it and probably interested in playing it. So I wanted to quickly go over like some of the mechanics, or, you know, the game. The main game, there's multiple Killer Bunny games. It gets very confusing. The first game was Quest for the Magic Carrot, which I bought. It comes with two decks. It's a non-collecting card game, so it comes with two decks. You can play with a whole bunch of people. There's a lot of cards there. The game mechanics seem kind of complicated at first, but they're really not. Once you go through a sample game, you know, it is you realize it's very easy to play. And there are a ton of expansion decks. There's like 8 different expansion decks you can buy that add more cards to the game, which are fun if you have a lot of people playing. Of course, you're going to end up with a ton of cards. But the problem was that I decided I was going to buy an expansion deck because we played it enough that I thought we would it would be interesting to have some new cards. And the expansion deck for Quest was the next. You're supposed to do the expansions in order because they add a few new mechanics every time, and you don't want to be confused by buying one that's a little further down. I thought, well, an expansion deck, I don't really care about the color of the cards. I just wanted to see what we could do with them. Well, the red expansion was going for a fairly high price, and I couldn't figure it out. Well, here it seems those are kind of out of print or going out of print. So they have a second game. They have multiple games, but they have a second game with the same mechanics. It's called Conquest of the Magic Carrot, which basically is the same game, only it's updated. There's a couple of minor changes and a couple of new game mechanics, but for the most part, it's the same game, but just kind of updated. So I went ahead and bought that because it was actually cheaper than buying a booster. And we played that. We really got into it. The thing with the game is a lot of it's about wheeling and dealing with the people you're playing with, trying to make deals, trying to make bargains. But the way the game ends is very arbitrary. You collect carrots, and then there's a deck of small carrot cards that match the big carrot cards that you collect during the game. And what you do is you go down through the pile, and the carrot on the very bottom is the magic carrot. Whoever has that wins the game. So it's very arbitrary. It doesn't matter how good you're doing in the game. It doesn't matter how many bunnies you have or anything like that. The game, the ending is just very arbitrary, which has its pros and cons. Obviously, the cons are if you do a lot of scheming and conniving and are unable to, you know, you think you've done a really good job, then you end up losing. That's going to kind of tick you off. The upside is that for the kids especially, it's kind of like no holds barred. There's no sense in trying to play it safe because you could win anyway. You don't know. As long as you got a carrot, you have an option to win. So it makes a really good deal because you can sit there and you can try to barter with people. Like you can have a card you're going to play on somebody, or you can have somebody can see that you have a card and say, hey, I'll trade you these 10 cards for that one card or whatever. And it makes it a lot of fun to be able to do that. Now, what I have done when it's just the two of us especially is I'll make the bottom card worth 4 points, the bottom carrot card, and basically the magic carrot. I'll make it worth 4 points and make all the other carrots worth a point. That way, even though it's still fairly arbitrary, you still have a better chance of mixing it up a little bit, and that's what I'll do. But some people have been asking me about it. So if you're going to get the game, if you're going to buy the starter box, get Conquest because the booster packs are a little bit cheaper. And you can still use the other cards if you want. It's just that it's just more updated. The Conquest as opposed to Quest is more updated, and the booster packs are much easier to find. Now, because we were playing this and we were really getting into it, and the cards really make you think about what you want to do, I had mentioned to my daughter about playing Magic the Gathering. I haven't played Magic the Gathering since probably 96, probably earlier than that. And so we went and bought starter decks and we started playing, and we're now both hopelessly addicted to this game. It's not really, we found some inexpensive alternatives to playing. I mean, because you can buy a ton of cards. And basically, when you play in a standard tournament, your cards are good for about a year, and then they phase them out. I know some people out there play Magic probably know more about it than I do, but we just try to stick with the standard tournament thing. So there's like five decks, five different, I can't say decks, but five different versions of the cards you can play, and they usually phase those out every year over a period of time, but we really enjoy playing it. I really enjoy watching her build a deck and figuring out what her strategy is going to be. And she's getting quite good at it. We buy a few boosters here and there because cards are freaking expensive. But there are some ways where you can get an entire package of common or uncommon. They give you four cards of each for relatively inexpensive. And that's what we do. We just buy those, and then we're able to mix up our decks and put something together. But I have a bunch. It was funny because I mentioned to her and we started playing, and then my nephew, who didn't know that, had mentioned to me, and I said we just started playing, are you kidding? He's like, no, he's like, I want to play. I was like, well, you know, so we got together and played and had like a mini tournament at my house. There was like four of us playing, and then a bunch of other people at work had suddenly started playing, and all this happened without anybody like talking to anybody else. So it was kind of weird that we all started playing around the same time. So, you know, we did all that, and we would have a lot of fun doing it. So I just wanted to throw that out there and mention it. It's just kind of fun. It's one of the things we do. And I lucked out there. I found a comic shop up here in close to me. It's about a half hour away. And not only do they sell cards, but they sell comics. Unfortunately, it's more card centric. And what's unfortunate about that is when they have tournaments all the time, you can't actually get to the comic books to go in and look through them, which is, it's just, the store is just not big enough for all that. But I did find some great deals there when I was there. They had a bunch of trades for 40% off, so I was pretty happy to pick all that, to be able to pick up a few things here and there. And I picked up a Fables trade for my daughter, so hopefully she'll read that sometime soon. Right now we're reading a lot of the same books. I was looking for something to read, so I always look and see what she has in her read pile, because she tends to like some of the fantasy stuff. And so I've been reading some of that and really enjoying that. Anyway, so I had sent out an email through the Digger mail list. The article that I referenced in the email was where Damon Lindelof had watched the season finale of Breaking Bad, and with that had said he decided giving up defending the Lost finale. Now, those of you listening to the show know that I have a love-hate relationship with Lost, right? I love the acting of the show. I love the episodes, as it were, but I hated the fact that the show didn't really go anywhere. Now, this is going to be a spoiler-filled episode, and the reason that it is that I had somebody email me and say, hey, do you think you could talk about Lost for those of us that haven't seen it so that, we can know what's going on? Well, I got a fantastic email back from Patrick saying that where he had actually posted a very nice, very well done article on his blog about Lost and what he thought about. Now, he likes Lost. Now, here's the thing. What I liked about the article, and the to me, what I took away from the article, the most defining thing about the article that he put up was this, is that, you know, he liked it. He liked it. He doesn't defend it. He doesn't say, hey, you people that don't agree with me just are too stupid to know what you were watching. He just talks about what he liked about it. He liked the show and, you know, tackles a couple of the things that, you know, people that you could argue about could go one way or the other. And he also talks a bit about my biggest complaint, you know, was the information that I had listened to about the show was from the podcast the two writers were doing at the time when Lost first came out. And basically everything he said in the podcast was a bunch of BS and lies. I mean, the things they said about Lost never really came to fruition. And I always felt when I was watching Lost, by the time when we got to the second season, toward the end of the second season, and then we hit the third season, things were going, they were just insanely going directionless. They were meandering all over the place. And at that point, I realized these guys have no idea what they're going to do with this show. They started writing this and they've kind of written themselves in the corner. They didn't have a laid out plan. Okay. Which in some articles later on, it kind of comes out that really they didn't know what they were doing. And until they got a final date when they were going to show they got an episode count or a season count, then they decided to get it together and realized they had to have a beginning, middle, and end kind of thing. So there was a lot of meandering around a bit in the middle where I was just kind of checked out and said, okay, this show's going nowhere. Now, these are all my opinions, and you know, Patrick was nice enough to send the email to the group and, you know, was very friendly about it. And keep in mind, this is one of those little geek battles you're going to have I have nothing but the utmost respect for Patrick. And I absolutely, I cannot tell you how much I loved his article, because it's the kind of article that if I had that kind of ability, I would write. Basically, I like the show. This is why I like it. And you can go ahead and not like it. That's not going to bother me. Is basically what I took away from the article. And that's why I hate when somebody writes an article saying, I like it. You don't like it. You're stupid because you don't like it. And here's why you're stupid. Okay. Then that's not what the article was. And that's why I really liked it, because we can all like different things. Okay. I'm just going to explain to everybody what my problem with it. And my number one big problem. And that was during when the second season of Lost started. First episode was fantastic. And I mean everything about it. I love the writing. I love the cinematography. I love the audio quality. I mean, there was nothing I did not like about the show. I mean, everything about it was just top notch. And we hit season two, and I was listening to the podcast. It was a short podcast they did on, I think, weekly. I was listening to the podcast, the Lost podcast, and multiple times they would say, okay, you know, you write in and we will, you know, we'll answer your questions or whatever. So people would write in, and if it was something they couldn't really answer, they just kind of joked around about it and hemmed and hawed. Like they were like, you know, what does this mean? Or what does that mean? They're like, well, you know, that can mean something, you know, keep watching. That might mean something. It might come back later on. Okay. To me, that's kind of like, you know, a non-answer. But somebody said, hey, are these guys in purgatory? They handled the question, fairly seriously. And it's like, no, these people are not in purgatory. Okay. Well, at the end of the show, they are in fact in purgatory. And that's what ticked me off. It's like, I don't care if you don't answer the question, but you're not doing this show like live. People aren't, you're not talking to somebody live and have no way you're reading the emails, you're picking through these, you're deciding what you want to read. They decided that they wanted to read this. They decided that they wanted to outright lie about it. And don't get me wrong, it's not that they owe me anything, but the thing is, I'm tuning into your show and I got real excited because I thought, man, maybe there is some sort of crazy game plan. If we're not in purgatory, then that means that all this stuff is going to mean something and we're going to go somewhere with it. And it doesn't. It's all meaningless because it's just something, you know, it's a show that's about the journey, not the destination in a lot of ways. But the problem is that the journey doesn't mean anything. And all these clues and all these mysteries that they drop in every episode don't really go anywhere. It's just, you know, when you're watching Lost, it's just about the way that people interact with one another and the relationships they build, and that's it. It's very much like watching Guiding Light or Young and the Restless, okay? It's all about the relationships, and that's fine, But that's not how it was presented with the two writers when they were asked a question and listening to the podcast. And these are the guys writing the show. You shouldn't do a podcast with the intention to intentionally mislead people. Okay, if you want the show to stand on its own, you want the show to be about the show, then just do the show and don't do anything else. You know, as far as, you know, adding content or adding commentary to the show, don't do that, because if you're not going to be honest, if you're not prepared to be honest about what you're doing, then don't do that, because that's very misleading to the audience. And that is my huge issue with Lost. Now, there's a lot of things, and I'm not saying, you keep in mind that I don't hate Lost. Okay, I'm not saying, oh man, this is the worst show ever. It's not that at all. It's just that the people that love Lost so much won't admit. And what kills me is he talks about the final episode. The final episode wasn't the problem. The last two seasons of Lost, I loved. It wasn't the final episode, so to speak. It was the fact that when they realized they wanted to keep these people in purgatory, for several, you know, basically the whole show took place there, that they still kept introducing these mysteries that were going nowhere, that meant nothing, because whether you found out the answer to the mystery or not, it didn't really matter. And the problem is you didn't find out the answer to a lot of the mysteries. And when you did, what does it matter? They're in purgatory. It's not like that mystery put them in the situation that they're in. Okay. The plane crashed in the beginning. They're all in purgatory. That's the show. Okay. It's not like they had the opportunity by solving a mystery to get out of purgatory, or if you didn't think they were in purgatory, they could solve a mystery and figure out exactly what was going on, why these things were being done. None of those things mattered. And in the long run, and I will make a comparison to the Dark Tower without giving any spoilers. I'm still loath to spoil the Dark Tower. I would love to do, I want to go back and revisit the books. And if anybody listening, either has recently read them or wants to do a revisit of the books, I would love to do a 2-hour discussion, a roundtable discussion on the Dark Tower books and see what everybody's thoughts are on those at some point in time. Just throwing it out there now. But the Dark Tower, it's definitely a book about the journey and not the end. And I don't want to give away any spoilers other than to say that the journey mattered. Because when you did the journey, if you didn't do it right, then there was going to be ramifications for that. If you didn't make the right decisions or have the right moral compass, there was going to be ramifications for what you did wrong. And with Lost, it just wasn't like that. And again, like I said, I'm not saying that I hated the show. I hate the idea that you know, I guessed what was going on by the end of the first season, starting into season two. And, but you know, the writers, you know, swore up and down that that's not what was going on. And that just ticked me off. It's just like, why lie about it? Why even answer that question? Why just, you know, why not just say, just keep watching? Why even, handle a question that, is, you know, directly a direct question and you answer in a direct way, but you're clearly lying about what you're saying. That's what my problem with Lost was. Okay, but if you've seen Lost or seen some of Lost and you don't care much about spoilers, although if you're listening to this show, you don't, because I just spoiled the show for you. Go read Patrick's article. Go to the if you belong to the Digger email group, the Gmail group. That's where he posted the link, and I will endeavor to include the link in my show notes here, but. Go and read his article because it's very well done and it's very, just think of your favorite show. Okay. Think of your favorite show, whether it has problems or doesn't have problems, and think about, you know, kind of put your favorite show in place of what he's saying. And it makes perfect sense. It's very much, I don't want to say it's a love letter to Lost, because it's not, he's just, you know, what it boils down to is he's not saying it's the best show ever. He's just saying, hey, I like this show. And it's a good show, and I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed watching it every week, and I enjoyed all the mysteries, and, you know, I enjoyed everything about it. And, yeah, the ending might not have been what people wanted, but I enjoyed the ending, you know. It's just like, it's kind of like people complain about the ending of Battlestar Galactica. Well, the ending of Battlestar Galactica, the one little thing that happens that set everybody off doesn't really ruin the entire show. Everybody act like, oh, it ruined the entire show. It's like, no, it was one character, and it was a minor thing at that. But, you know, it's don't know. I guess it's all in how you perceive it. Would I, if I had not had any outside media, you know, or any kind of outside commentary or read any kind of news about it, would it be different for me? I don't know. It might be. But with that being said, if there was more hours in my day, I would love to do a complete rewatch of Lost from beginning to end and just enjoy it for what it is. Because, I mean, the acting and everything was top-notch. I mean, I really enjoyed watching the show. But I just, as far as a story goes, the story could have been 100 seasons. It could have been half a season. It's the same story. That everything that happened between the beginning and the end doesn't matter. It had no bearing on the story itself. It might have had some bearing on the characters and how they interrelated, but it had no bearing on the story itself. And there's no ramifications for the different behavior. There's no ramifications if they solve a mystery. There's no ramifications whether you knew what the numbers meant or didn't mean. There's no ramifications about whether or not you pushed the button or didn't push the button. It really does not matter. And you can argue that, but I would say that if you didn't push the button and then suddenly everything went bluey, it didn't really matter because it didn't matter to their lives. You know, you had time travel where they travel back in time. It's like, okay, what's going on with this, thinking that might tie into it, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't, they could travel 100 years in the future. It did not matter because it was just them. It was their little tiny, incohesive world. And that was my problem with it. Okay. Now, with that being said, keep in mind, I don't hate Lost. Okay. I welcome any commentary, any audio comments you want to send my way about it. I think it's one of those shows that no matter what happens, there's going to be, people who liked it and didn't like it for different reasons. I'm just saying the reason I didn't like it is because they said it wasn't something that it was exactly, you know. They said it wasn't blue when it was blue. They said it wasn't yellow when it was yellow. You know, that's the thing that irritates me. It's like when the writers tell you something and then you believe them. And ever since then, I'm just like, well, I am not going to get on board any kind of show like that again where the writers say something like that. You know, you need to, and I don't need, if I have to watch a show and I have to have, I remember when Lost ended and I talked about how much I enjoyed the finale, but that it didn't go anywhere. You know, it didn't mean anything. That some people were like, oh, well, you just don't know what you were reading, and here you have to read this, and here you have to read. It's like, no, I don't have to read this. This is the show. This is what was presented to me. It's like when you give me a photograph and then you suddenly give me a 25-page report explaining me why I should like or not like the photograph. Okay, that doesn't really work for me. I mean, that is the art form. That is the presentation you're making. I don't need somebody to explain it to me. It should be able to explain itself. And if it can't, then it's failed. And what it's been, the story of that has failed. If it has not been, if it cannot explain to me, watching the story, if I cannot get the information that way. Okay. And it's kind of, like I said, you know, that's just kind of how I look at things. It's like when I watch a show, I want it to give me the information. I don't want to have to go and research and find out, you know, how somebody who knew somebody's brother's cousin's sister's grandma's boyfriend who knows the writer told them this is what this means. Okay. That orange on a table doesn't really mean it's an orange. Okay. It means it's a citrus fruit. It's tied to the groves in Florida in the United States in 1960. No, I don't need to know that. Okay. That's way too much work for me. I just want to, you know, if you can't explain to me while I'm watching the show, then you failed as a storyteller. And that's all I'm saying. As a story, it is not, it's a failure in my eyes. Okay. It's a failure of, it just went on far too long for what the story that they were telling. You know, clearly they were just trying to milk the ratings. And part of that was the environment of television at the time. You know, you had reality TV that was cheap to make. And so everybody was making these cheap shows, and you had something like Lost that cost as much as it cost to make because of all the talent you had on the show and all the effort and production value that went into the show. And I don't know that you're ever going to see something like that again, because the return on that was good, because it started out at a perfect time and it pulled everybody in. I mean, I don't want to say, oh, it was just the timing, because it wasn't, because the show was good, but it pulled everybody in. And then I think that when they had all these millions and millions of viewers, they realized that they maybe should have mapped this out a little bit better. And you cannot tell me, when you go back and watch, I dare anybody to go there and watch Lost, including season 3, and tell me that, oh, they had this mapped out. They knew what they were doing. No, they didn't. They had no idea what they were doing. They might have had a grain of an idea, but there's no way until, was it season 4? When they finally the network said, okay, you're gonna, this is gonna be your end date, that they realized what they could do and how they had to do that. And again, it's also kind of goes back to what's wrong with American television, you know, that you milk things out far longer than you need to. Look at the X-Files and Supernatural. Supernatural should have been 5 seasons, and that should have been the end of it. That was the story. The first 5 seasons was one singular story, the beginning, a middle, and an end, and that's kind of how they should have done that. And now I just recently had 8 episodes of Supernatural from last season on my DVR, and I deleted them without watching them because the show has just gotten, in my eyes, has gotten so terrible. Now, I will try to watch 1 or 2 episodes this season to see if I'm still liking it, but there was a lot of things that contributed to my deleting them last season. One, the story was just okay. It was mediocre at best. Two, the production and the money in the show was just horrible. Some things were done so cheap, and getting rid of some of the major players, the major characters that they might not have been the stars, but they were regular co-stars. And once they were gone, it really lessened the two main characters. And the fact that some things weren't explained, it should have been explained. It didn't make a lot of sense to me later on. It just kind of, everything has sort of faded for me. And it's funny because people ask me about Supernatural now, and they're like, yeah, have you seen Supernatural? They're like, yeah, I've seen every episode up until the last season. And I said, watch seasons 1 through 5 and don't watch any more, and you'll be the best show you've ever seen on television. You watch after that, and it definitely ruins it. Same thing with The X-Files. Now, The X-Files, you know, the problem with The X-Files that I find was that a lot of the mythology that they laid in place, they built their world, and the mythology they laid in place, they decided to go back on that and change it on the fly. And that just screws everything up. You know, you can't have I've said this a million times, if once you create your environment, once you create your world, and then suddenly you go back and you start changing things around, that doesn't really, it's going to spoil everything for the person who's consuming that. And that actually ties into something else that happened to me this week. I had talked several episodes ago about the comic book Chew from Image Comics. I love Chew. It's just a fantastic story. And I was lucky enough that they were offering the digital trades on Comixology. And so I bought whatever was available at the time on sale. And I burned through that, man. I just loved it so much. Just such a great, unique book. And I got a very nice surprise in the mail from Richard, who said, I'm going to send you something. And he sent me the hardcover, the Omnivore edition. And I was going to buy it, and I didn't. I was just like, I don't have the cash right now. I'm just going to wait. And so I got this thing in the mail, and it's got a sketch on the inside, and it's signed. And I was just like, oh, I was all a flutter. And I just love Chew so much. And so I'm sitting there, I'm flipping through it last night, and I'm like, man, you know, the one thing about Chew that I like is that sometimes the stories go like in an absurd direction, right? But it all works and all makes sense because he spent time building the environment, building the world that Tony Chew lives in. And he's done it well enough that when something kind of goes a little off left field and you're like, I was not expecting that, but it makes sense when you're reading the story. And he's done such a great job, both the writer and the artist, of, you know, putting everything together in this world, that when they do something that kind of goes not where you expected it, like there's a story, an issue where they're talking about where somebody goes in space, okay? But it completely works the way that they set everything up and they put it all together, okay? And when you're reading it, you're like, oh, wow, you see the cover or you see a scene, you're like, how is space travel suddenly tied to a police detective? And, well, not police, but he's basically police. And you're like, okay, how does this work? And then they go back and they tell you the story of how they got to this point. It all makes sense. And and I was thinking about that last night. Well, I wasn't even thinking about Lost. I was thinking about that last night. I was thinking about, why do I like this book so much? And it's because they did such a fantastic job creating this world that when these things happen in this world, it all makes sense. And that is that takes some good writing and that takes some good planning on putting a world together that's going to work. You just can't, you know, like you can't create a world where you know, people can fly. You know, certain people can, like, you can create a world where, okay, all the men can fly. And then suddenly, out of left field, you have, you know, you go, so you tell so many stories, and suddenly you say, okay, well, now this dog can fly. And, you know, without explaining how you got there. And, you know, you can't make a world of magic and vampires and things like that, and then suddenly just break the rules because you want to, because you've written yourself into a corner. You have to get there organically. And if you don't, it takes everybody out of the story. And that's kind of what Lost did for me. And that's kind of what they did in the X-Files when they said, okay, well, the black oil is this. And suddenly, oh, no, it means this. Well, you can't just do that. That doesn't make any sense. And, you know, my issues with Supernatural are completely different. It's not that they've changed the world so much. It's just that during his first five seasons, the world was much tightly woven. And then we get these other seasons, and we're showing different creatures, different monsters that they're battling. And not only were the stories just poor, they're just poorly told, and they're just not very good. But that combined with the lack of budget, the lack of money they're willing to put into the show, and the creatures themselves just did not work for me. Because the whole time you're like, well, why weren't these creatures around during this? You know, why you haven't really fully explained to me why they don't know what's going on, you know, or why these things have happened. You know, you kind of give us a finale that which should tie everything up, and then suddenly you're saying, oh yeah, it was all tied up except for this, and this. And then I have a problem with that, you know. So anyway, these are all just my random thoughts. I welcome any kind of feedback. I have to say, though, if you're not reading Chew, you know, you need to do that. I know that there's a lot of comics in the press, you know, like there's in the mainstream press, and they talk about DC, they talk about Marvel, they talk about the big two, they talk about the big characters, Batman, Superman, Spider-Man, things like that. They talk about all these things that happen, and people kind of get on board for a little while and then get off board. And I know a lot of people don't really like comics, or don't really read comics, that might listen to this show, more of a television or a book kind of show. But I tell you what, there's so many good independent comics out there. Do not be afraid to go out and pick something up. And I've been finding, I mentioned a couple weeks ago that I started ordering comics again, some floppies, because the price is just better than when I can buy them digitally. And going down through the order form, you know, I see all the independents. Since I've been doing this, I've been getting previews, and I've been able to go through and see all the new stuff coming out, all the independent stuff coming out. And when I filled out my very first order form, I looked down through it and I realized I hadn't ordered a single DC or Marvel comics. I just did not. There's nothing there that I find enthralling. Now, I've since changed that, and I think there's like two DC books I get and one Marvel book I get, but neither one of them are like really super mainstream. But the independent stuff gets me so excited. There's just so many good things out there, independent wise. And if you aren't taking the time to go and investigate this, you're really doing yourself a disservice, because some of the best stories are being written in comics right now. A lot of fantasy. I find a lot more fantasy than sci-fi, but a lot of things that that I am really, really enjoying. So anyway, that's the show, folks. Give me some feedback on everything about this show. If you have time, you know, shoot me an email, text. A lot of you have my phone. You know, you can post on the groups or whatever. Let me know your thoughts on, you know, what you think about changing the format up a little bit, and about what the recording quality is. I'm not exactly sure how well this is going to work like this. It's really nice having the computer already ready to go. Although, as I'm using it, I'm seeing that it goes very, very slow. I think the bus speed on it's only like 133 megahertz. It's old school computer, but it works so well. And I recorded, I don't know, 200 podcasts on this thing. It really does work well for that. But of course, with everything being updated and so many updates out there, both on the web and everything else, I can see some glitches coming in my future, but it's a work in progress. But give me some feedback. I will talk to everybody next time. This is Aaron from the Sci-Fi Dig podcast. Over and out.